Welcome to The Signal. I'm Sabine Antigua.
And I'm Natalia Tola. We're with the audio workshop at University of King's College School of Journalism.
Today on the show, Canada's military is spending big bucks on new aircraft and naval ships. But
who's going to be the crews? Who's going to pilot these? Who's going to sail in these?
We'll hear from one person who says he's up for the job.
And a Halifax ferry commute just got better.
We have lots of views of the ocean and the ships and things around.
We'll step inside an upgraded ferry terminal.
Plus, I'll talk to a cyclist who recently completed a 100-day journey across Canada.
This guy is doing really good. It's a Trek 520. It's one of the famous touring bikes.
We'll hear about a long ride to find the right place to settle down.
And later, is it winter blues or is it mental illness?
It's difficult to say, you know, like I'm having a really hard time functioning and like the reason is just the weather.
All that and more on today's show.
Canada is spending $300 billion on new equipment for the military in the coming years. But there is a big problem looming. Conan McDowell tells us more.
It was a little scary because I knew what I was getting into, but also very excited.
That's Tyler Gates, a 19-year-old student who has just done what the Canadian Armed Forces say not enough people are doing. He's registered to join the military. In October, the Chief of Defense Staff, General Wayne Erie, urged Canadians to fill 10,000 empty positions in the Canadian military. He said recruiting and retaining personnel is now the military's top priority. Scott Taylor is a former soldier and a 30-year journalist who specializes in writing about the Canadian Armed Forces.
It's worse than they let on. I mean, just simply having 10,000 empty spots sounds like a problem in a force of 65, but it's worse than that because it's, you know, in American military doctrine, if a military unit loses 10% of its strength, it's no longer considered combat efficient.
Taylor says Canada's military should have 65,000 personnel. That means with 10,000 vacancies, it's down just over 15%. And he says the military's approach to recruiting and retention is out of date.
You have to sign up for a 3 or a 5 year contract when you go in. And people now in the modern workplace are dealing with LinkedIn. I mean, the people are jumping jobs like every 6 months. And, you know, the idea that someone would stick with a job for 25 years nowadays is almost unheard of.
But the problem is more than that. Dan Middlemiss is a former Dalhousie professor who studied the military for nearly 40 years.
One of the issues is that military life is not appealing to many young Canadians, and public opinion polls seem to confirm this. My father had joined when he was 19, and that was just considered the thing to do. But when I asked some of my students this, they looked at me agog.
Luckily for Canada, some people like Tyler Gates still look forward to a military career.
I'm going to basic training and I'm doing it to serve my country for a good lifestyle and good benefits.
Gates is leaving for basic training tomorrow. He says for years he's wanted to join the Navy, and now he's quit university to do it.
I remember I called my mom and I was like, I just applied for the Navy, and she was like, you did what? And I was like, yeah, that boy sounded like...
6 months later, duty called.
I was on my way back from school. It was the government of Canada, and I was thinking, do I have any parking tickets? I called them, and they said, we're offering you a job as a naval communicator.
Gates will finish basic training in late February. Afterwards, he'll travel to either Halifax or Vancouver Island for the next part of his training. He swore in for 4 years of service. Connor McDowell, The Signal, Halifax.
The oldest saltwater ferry service in North America just received an upgrade. Improvements to accessibility and energy efficiency are now complete at the Halifax Transit Woodside Ferry Terminal. Andrew Lamb reports.
Working escalators may not seem like a big deal, but the Woodside Ferry Terminal was built over 3 decades ago, and passengers were noticing its age.
The escalators never worked. It was run down at times and dark, needed some updating for sure.
We had problems in the past because often things didn't work well.
But after a $10.5 million overhaul,
Well, I think it's a beautiful terminal now. When we're walking down through the hallway, we have lots of views of the ocean and the ships and things around. So I think that's really great.
It's just very clean and updated, bright, lots of light in the morning when you're doing the early commute.
The upgrades are also saving energy and money, according to Patricia Hughes. She's Halifax Transit's Director of Planning and Customer Engagement. Hughes says they've beat the targeted 76% energy efficiency savings compared to 2016.
So we've actually already achieved it. We compared April 2019 to this past April, and we did have the significant savings we wanted, so it actually exceeded expectations.
The city estimates this will save nearly $60,000 per year.
I think anything that we can save in terms of energy efficiency just helps offset other increasing costs and inflation and helps to keep us in a good place for operating.
The building overhaul also improved accessibility and inclusion. There are new elevators and gender-inclusive washrooms. Mayor Mike Savage says it's important to invest in transit.
Having buildings that are fuel efficient and accessible to people in wheelchairs, people who have all kinds of other disabilities is really important if we're going to be the kind of city that we want to be.
HRM Councillor Sam Austin hopes the renovated terminal will increase ridership.
Having a facility that's actually welcoming, where everything works, that's accessible, where you can bring a bike here and it can fit in the elevator without having to lift it up on one wheel, these are all pluses that will actually make the service more attractive.
Hughes says the upgrades are expected to increase ridership, although there are no specific projections at the moment. For The Signal, I'm Andrew Lamb.
Canada's a big place. No surprises there. So how does a new immigrant choose where to settle down? One newcomer found an adventurous way to see what each province has to offer.
This guy is doing really good. It's actually, it's a Trek 520. It's one of the famous touring bikes. I'm happy with it, like, because I didn't have much trouble except changing my back tire.
In September, Walid Kabil got back from the trip of a lifetime. He traveled 100 days and 8,500 kilometers across Canada by bicycle. Originally from Casablanca, Morocco, Walid received his Canadian permanent residency status in 2021.
When I first came to Canada, like, you have that question in your mind. What is the best city? What is the best province to settle in? So everyone gives you like his point of view from his corner. For me, it wasn't enough.
He took the cycling journey to immerse himself in a wider Canadian experience like he'd never had before.
I choose to do it by bicycle because it's convenient. It gives you time to see a lot, not like a car. Car, you don't see much because all your focus is on the road. But a bicycle, like, you have time to see the beauty of the roads, the lakes, the nature in general.
From Halifax, Walid cycled across Nova Scotia, then made his way west through Fredericton, Montreal, Toronto, Niagara Falls, and Thunder Bay. But he talks about how Hopewell Rocks has a special significance for him.
When I was a kid, when I was back home in Morocco, whenever I go to the barbershop, there is that picture of Hopewell Rocks. And that time, I didn't know that this place exists in the real. I thought it's just like a picture. When I discovered that that place is like here in Canada and there is a real place called Hopewell Rocks and it exists in real life, I was like, no way, I'm going there.
Walid spent a lot of time camping in the wilderness. In more populated areas, he relied on an app called Warm Showers. The app puts the cycling community in touch with people who can give them a place to stay for the night.
When you go there, you have everything, basically. You have a place to stay, to sleep. People are very generous, very humble, very friendly.
In fact, no matter where the road took him, Walid always managed to find community. He encountered cyclists from all over the world, making lots of friends along the way.
This is a gift from a guy. He gave it to me. He's cycling around the world. So he gave me this bell as a souvenir. He said it will protect me from bears. It's like...
So where does Walid see himself settling down in the future? Vancouver Island is on top of the list. He says he likes the good weather and peaceful lifestyle.
If it's not Halifax, definitely it's going to be a West Coast. If I want to decide, it's going to come from my own experience, not from hearing people's stories.
But Walid's in no rush to decide, since coming back to Halifax, he's returned to his job as a chef and is catching up with friends to tell them all about his adventures.
Wait a minute. So, like, did this guy also bike his way back to Halifax?
No, he took a flight back from Vancouver City.
Makes sense. Listening to The Signal on CKPU 881 FM in Halifax and Signal HFX on Twitter. You can also hear us on SoundCloud. Just search King's Radio Room.
We are bringing you stories from the audio workshop at the University of King's College School of Journalism. I'm Sabine Antigua.
And I'm Natalia Tola. Still to come on the show, a gay-friendly book club addresses financial barriers to reading.
We pay for all books that students ask if they don't have to, like, submit, like a financial need form or anything.
We'll hear about Gays on the Same Page book club at Dalhousie.
And if you're a gamer, stay tuned.
One, go.
We'll find out about FRAG, Atlantic Canada's largest gaming event.
Winter is coming, and so is darkness. This, the season for mental health changes in a lot of students, Shazada Khan reports.
It's a gorgeous fall afternoon in Halifax, but at 5 o'clock, the sun's already setting. And many students say their mental health is declining as the days get shorter.
It hits me a lot harder than I expect every year when the sun starts to go down, like in the afternoon.
Dr. David Pilon is the director of counseling and psychological services at Dalhousie Student Health and Wellness Center. He says seasonal affective disorder, or SAD, is a term used to describe the seasonal changes in mental health.
A pattern in which people experience a disruption in their mood, either symptoms of depression or indeed it could be symptoms of bipolar disorder.
He says students face a lot of stress starting in late fall. Schoolwork starts piling up and affecting their mental health. Dr. Pilon says some of that pressure will go away once the semester ends, and they'll start the new semester with hope and optimism. But that mindset changes pretty quickly.
With respect to academic work, with respect to pressures, with respect to falling behind, so they might become more anxious, more distressed, more troubled by all of that. That technically would not be considered seasonally.
Some students on campus were willing to share their experiences.
It was my first year kind of living on my own as like a full-time student, and I really noticed how much harder it was not only to get out of bed but to do anything. And it's an odd thing to kind of ask for support for, because it's difficult to say, you know, like, I'm having a really hard time functioning and like the reason is just the weather.
It tends to be much easier to just stay alone, and that just makes you very removed, and then suddenly you're like really tired all the time and you're like just in your room constantly.
You have to deal with taking care of yourself, and then if you're dealing with any other mental illness on top of having SAD, it becomes harder to like maintain the level or like balance your mental health with your grades and everything else that you have to do.
Dr. Pilon says treatments are based on improving mood. He says it's hard to distinguish between mental stress from school and declining mental health from the changing seasons. But he says counseling has year-round benefits.
When it comes to mental health problems in general, oftentimes cognitive behavioral therapy is a very common and effective form of treatment.
If you're struggling, you can contact the Student Health and Wellness Center in Dalhousie University. For The Signal, I'm Shazara Khan in Halifax.
Like everything else, books are more expensive now than ever. But one local book club is trying to help, providing free books for all of its members. Ali Galland tells us more.
Bookstores like this aren't financially accessible for many students, but one book club, Gays on the Same Page, strives to break that barrier in others. The queer-friendly club was the brainchild of Charlie Gould. Gould is with the Dal Out organization.
We pay for all books that students ask if they don't have to, like, submit, you know, like a because of the form or anything. Like, we would say, hey, can you track down this book? And I was like, yeah, for sure. Getting queer books by queer authors in the hands of queer students.
Anywhere from 15 to 20 students get free copies of each month's read and attend meetings. In September, the book club even welcomed local author Rebecca Rose, a queer writer, to speak about her book, Before the Parade.
She signed my book and everything, and it was a really good time.
Club member Anna Furtado has noticed the meetings are larger than they used to be.
There's been a decent amount of people. There was, like, certainly not lacking discussion.
Furtado was also impressed with the fact that the club is financially accessible.
I think it's awesome that they tried to really give everybody the opportunity to be in it, and, like, regardless of a financial situation, they try to get you the book so you can actually be part of it, and I think it's really awesome.
The book club is always accepting new members, and their next meeting will take place on November 20th. For The Signal, I'm Alec Gallant.
For most, gaming is a lonely activity. You, your video game, your keyboard, and your Red Bull to keep you energized. But this week, gamers will have the chance to play their favorite esport in FOAG, Atlantic Canada's largest gaming tournament.
This weekend, teams will compete against each other to raise money for cancer charities. But I discovered the gamers get something more than fun out of the event, too.
3, 2, 1, go!
You're playing the video game Valorant. The screen is lit with firing shots and narrow alleys. You're the last man standing in your team. Finally, you detonate a bomb and win the final round. Now, imagine you're not alone in your room. Instead, you're actually surrounded by 200 people who are playing your same game. That's exactly what Jace Limbuel is organizing in FRAG.
We didn't want to try and do like an online or a half FRAG, so to speak, because one of the magical things about FRAG is it's a land. It's about playing games in the same room with your team.
FRAG is a community building event for gamers, a group of people who can often be on the more introverted side. Buell herself has met her closest friends through FRAG.
So when we can get together in one big room and you share a common interest and you're surrounded by your people, obviously friendships are made. Although it starts with a rivalry of team on team, at the end, you know, you can go up to each other and say, wow, that play was awesome, and then you start building these bonds, and maybe next year you two will be on a team.
Lily Andruschek is a gamer who will participate in FRAG this year. She says that these friendships can even lead to job opportunities, as happened with her.
I have done a co-op at Ubisoft, and that was through just making connections and meeting people through events like this have kind of gotten me into the industry itself.
Ubisoft is one of the top game developer companies around the world. Ultimately, FRAG brings people together for an important cause. Over the last 13 years, FRAG Esports Society has raised over $175,000 for cancer-related charities. The event is taking place at the Dalhousie Student Union building this weekend. Tickets are only $5.
If you're not into gaming, maybe you were planning to dance with the Beatles this weekend. Bad news, the Rotary Beatles dance event at the Paul O'Regan Hall at the Central Library has been cancelled. Don't worry, we get by with a little help from our friends. Here's the Fab Four with Twist and Shout. So, Natalia, which of the Beatles do you think you'd like to have dinner with the most?
Ringo, no questions asked.
Taste. And that's our show for today.
If there's anything you want to hear again, we post links on our stories on Twitter. Our handle is SignalHFX.
Thanks to our producer, Shazara Khan, and our social media editor, Andrew Lam.
And shout out to our technician, Mark Pinio, in the control room.
Our audio professor is Pauline Dakin. I'm Sabine Antigua.
And I'm Natalia Tola. We'll be back next week with more stories. Have a great weekend.